Good to be with you this morning. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that we have come to worship. It's good to be up here in the city again. It's a blessing to see the work of the church continuing to go forth in areas covered where people can come and learn to know about God. It's really what we want. This morning, I invite your attention to the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. I would like to consider the first 11 verses this morning of this passage. This passage gives a contrast between spiritual life and spiritual death. I have two parts to my sermon. The one is, first of all, dead in sins. And the second part of the message is alive in Christ. If you're looking for a title, this is what I titled it: A Slave to a Servant. I like to just consider the title for a little bit. A slave is usually viewed to be under authority without having a choice. Now, if you let your mind go back to earlier days in America, you will discover that there were many slaves in this country. And there was slaves who had very good masters, but many masters treated their slaves with disrespect and cruelty. They would control their slaves with fear and beatings and etc. But even though a slave had a good master, he was still a slave. When he was told to do something, he had to do it. He was a slave. And this morning I'd like to compare that a little bit to the devil. The devil's goal this morning is to bring us into slavery. It's what he wants. And the devil is a master. Many people are wanting freedom in their life, and they're trying to find something that's going to free them, but they are listening to the devil. And the devil is taking them into more and more bondage. It's slavery. They are allowing the devil to take control of their lives. And this is what you call dead in sin. A servant is usually one who is under authority, but by choice. It's a totally different aspect. I believe all of us would rather be a servant than a slave. Sometimes as servants, we need to do things that are not easy, but we choose to do it. We don't have to. We choose to do it. And possibly we choose to do it because we want our job, or possibly we choose to do it because we love our master. But it's a choice. This morning, being alive in Christ, Christ wants to be our master. And we're brought to the choice. Christ asks us sometimes to go through some difficult times in life. But you don't have to do that. But Christ wants you to. See, we have a choice. Do we want to follow Him or don't we? But one of the differences between the devil and Christ is that the devil will take you to bondage, but Christ will bring you to freedom. And this morning, as Christians, we have the opportunity to serve Christ because of surrendering our lives to Him. And we can experience the freedom and joy in our life because of what God has done for us and because of surrendering our life to Christ. My goal for the message is to convey the difference between being spiritually dead and being spiritually alive. Secondly, it is also to show that the old life of serving the devil is slavery, while new life in Christ brings servanthood. I like to read these verses in Ephesians 2. I like to read verse 1 through 11. Actually, through 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This morning, I would like to paint a picture of being dead in our sins. Then, I would like to give a picture of being alive in Christ. And so, first of all, we're going to look at a very, very negative side. We're going to look, first of all, at the condition of mankind, and we'd like to just look at the helplessness of mankind briefly. And we'd also like to just look at the devil's slavery for a little bit, rooted in things from this passage. A lot of us think, you know, we're pretty good in life, don't we? Maybe you don't struggle with that, but I struggle with that. Got a lot going for yourself. It's a lot for you. But reality is that the Bible says that we're quite the opposite. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man is in a terrible state. It is so reproachful and unexplainable that the writer asks the question, who can know it? None of us can understand in depth how sinful we are. But the Bible helps us to understand ourselves better, doesn't it? Also, another passage says, Mark 7 says, for from within or out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And then verse 23 says, and all these evil things come from within that defile a man. Is that what you want to be like? None of us like that, do we? It's a pretty terrible state, isn't it? But that's who we are. This is who we are, dead in our sins. That's the kind of person we are. The scripture also says that he hath concluded all under sin. And so this morning, if you're feeling like, you know what, I can't identify with this list. I just, from my youth up, I really haven't been this kind of person. The Bible says, you know what, you're still under sin. And it goes on to say in Romans, the writer says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. And so it clarifies again that even no matter how you feel about yourself, you really are in a wretched condition. And this is our story. We have all sinned against God. We have broken his commandments. We are dirty and defiled. We are unlovely. Get the picture? We have made a wreck out of our life. We have no relationship with God. And so we have a couple problems. And now I'd like to just have 3 points on the helplessness of man. And one is that we can't fix it. There's nothing you can do about it. That is of your own. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "We are all as unclean thing, and all righteousness are as filthy rags." And so anything that we try to do really has no merit in bringing us to a relationship with Christ or fixing that dead in sin problem. We cannot live a life so good that we are free from this condemnation. We can go to church every Sunday and conform and look right, but it doesn't take care of the within, doesn't take care of the sin issue, being dead in sin. Without Christ, it is no avail. Our outward actions will not suffice to clean the heart, and so we see that of ourselves, we cannot fix the problem. Secondly, God will not have his blessing on us. Psalms 5 and verse 4 says, "For thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." And all of us want the blessing of God, don't we? We need it. But in our condition, the blessing of God is not with us. Thirdly, we will be called into account. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Sometime down the road, we all know that we're going to face death. Or Christ is going to come back. But we're going to face Christ face to face, and we're going to give account for the things that we did in our bodies. Doesn't look like a nice picture, does it? And there's many things that we can get away with. We can go down the road and we can speed and the policeman might not catch us. We can probably do that. But if we think that somehow we're going to slip underneath the system and we're going to outwit God and somehow our sin is going to just kind of get overlooked, we better change your mind. God isn't going to miss it. Therefore, being dead in sins has a high price to pay. I would like now to look back in our passage more directly in Ephesians 2. And there's 3 points that I'd like to consider. I still want to give more of a negative picture. And I would like to consider more slavery to the devil. There's the first one I have that is mentioned in this passage is a slave to the world. And verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." I would like to think of this as a world controlling our choices. It doesn't take us long to figure out that there's pressures and influences that are driving people to do the things they do. The world often capitalizes on this, whether it's on a billboard or TV shows or radio, fashions. Somehow they bring out what they would like to present to the people for them to do. The world capitalizes on us, on this. If you don't pay much attention to the world, it probably isn't going to affect you much. And yet there's going to be a pull there. But if you do pay attention to this, it is going to affect you tremendously because it's going to mean something to you. If the world is important to us, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on us to follow. And we do it because it's the in thing, or because people are doing it, or we want to find acceptance. When we pursue this kind of lifestyle, the world eventually begins to control us, because when we think the world is important, then we follow what they're doing. They lay aside the important things to be able to pursue the things that they feel they must. They focus so much on the earth that they forget greater values. And I want to take you to Luke chapter 12. And I'd like to read a passage just to give us an illustration of this. Luke 12, and I'd like to begin at verse 15. I'd like to begin at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. And out of this passage, I'd just like to notice that this man was very concerned about what he was going to do with his fruit. But do you think that he really considered that it wasn't going to be very long until he was going to breathe his last breath? He was going to die? Probably not. I'm not sure why. Was it just the life of ease that he wanted? It's what it says. I don't know if there was other factors that played into that. But he became a slave to the things that he had. And he neglected the more important values of life. And God said, Thou fool. Secondly, I like to look at a slave to Satan, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is when we're faced with wrong and we listen and obey Satan. Now, I understand that all choices of wrong are a product of listening to Satan's voice. And Satan will often come with his lies and try to persuade us to believe him. He's very skillful. He gives opportunity with his deceit. And he entices us to follow. I would like to consider this point on more of a serious note than simply a mistake. But rather, I would like to consider this point from the aspect when we willfully sin to the point that we do not even care. A slave to Satan. Satan comes, we know better, and we listen. And we begin going down that road, and it sets us up for something that we thought that we just never do. And I especially think of suicide or murder. Temptations that really are natural. And yet, because people have cultivated in their life to listen to Satan too long, Satan has convinced them that they're not getting what they want. They make some terrible choices in their life. Terrible choices. Satan has convinced people that they are not getting what they deserve. They become angry, bitter. They harbor this in their life so long that they lose their common sense. This gets them to the place where they hardly can control themselves. The devil is a master. He's controlling him. Romans 6 and verse 16 says, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Matthew 6 and 24 says, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. When the devil begins to control our life, we go down a road we don't want to go. We begin to give in to the devil's pleas. We're starting to give us we're starting to give him our fingers and our hands and our bodies. And after a while, he tells us what to do. A slave to Satan. Thirdly, I'd also like to look at a slave to our passions. And that one simply comes out of Ephesians 2 here from the concept fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind. This is the kind of thing we do because it feels good to us. It primarily comes from our feelings, from within. It seems right for the moment. Our passions come strong. Feelings start overriding. Facts. If we let our guards down, our minds will run wild. If not brought into captivity, very soon, it will change into action. It will only better be a matter of time until you're under strong addictions. Your passion will control you. People begin getting hurt. They hurt themselves. They hurt others. They resolve to do better, but the next time is always the same. The cycle is never ending. A slave to our passions. What are the results of being dead in sin? Death, spiritual death. Ungodly actions, just two out of this passage. Children of disobedience, children of wrath. And this is the people that we are. I'm painting this, a negative picture. The more negative we paint the picture, the bigger that God is, so to speak. We were dead in our sins. We were slaves to the world, to the devil, to our passions. We could not free ourselves. We were in condemnation before God. Now, I like to flip the coin, and I would like to go to a more positive. Alive in Christ. The first, I like to go to right to verse 4. But God. But God. See the picture change? Very negative. This is who we are, dead in sins. But he's offering hope. You hath he quickened, alive in Christ. But God, and there's three things I like to consider just from what it says here. But God, who is rich in mercy. This is God's compassion on mankind. The writer in Psalm says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. If you were to go out in the evening and you would look to the north, it would be dark and the stars would be out. And you will look to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west. You could just look as far as the eye could see. It would be endless. It's endless. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is his mercy that gave us the opportunity to discover his plan of salvation. This is part of the plan, to be able to be alive in Christ, is a provision of God. What else? With his great love, he loved us. And a lot of these tie together, but they're different aspects. With his great love, he loved us. And this is what I'm going to call his love provided a way for our redemption. Mercy brought us to that, and his love is what provided redemption. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Very common verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see the love of Christ again, a part of his plan to quicken us, to being alive in Christ, to call us from being dead into sin to alive in Christ. Also, we see his grace. By grace are ye saved. This is his free unmerited favor for sinful mankind. For grace, for by grace are ye saved. We see the plan of God was to bring redemption. His desire was to help us out of our sinful condition. I'm emphasizing that this morning. And his grace is what saved us. Nothing else. You couldn't do it on your own, but it was his grace. And it says that the Bible says that in the ages to come, that God wants to show us the exceeding riches of his grace for ages to come. I'm looking forward to that time. I really am. When he's going to share even more of the fullness of God and his love and his greatness. But I would like again to remind you that this is all part of the plan from being dead in your sins to becoming alive in Christ. Now, I would like to move on a little more to our response and directly relating to how we become servants. Pulling it out of this passage, I'm going to simply say, saved by faith. Or a servant by faith. This morning, to be changed, when you come from dead in sins to be alive in Christ, is going to take faith. The Bible is very clear with that. And there's three things that I like to bring out this morning that put people outside of the grace of God, so to speak. One is that if they choose to believe that God doesn't exist. As long as someone chooses to believe that God really doesn't exist, how can you accept the plan that God has so graciously given to us? How will you know that you're dead in your sins if God really isn't who he is? That's where we find that we're sinners. And that's how we find we can be changed. Secondly, there's people that choose to believe that Jesus never died on the cross. They refuse to accept it. How can someone be dead in their sins and come to know Christ and be quickened and become alive in Christ if they choose to refuse to accept the plan of salvation through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? It's impossible. Thirdly, some people choose to believe that God could never forgive their sins. I've just been too bad. God will never accept me because you ought to see who I am. I painted a negative picture this morning. Are you one of them people? If you choose to accept in faith, God can forgive your sins, but as long as you choose to believe that God cannot forgive your sins, you cannot be changed from your old life to the new. These people will die in their sins. Those who refuse to believe by faith will never experience the saving power of Christ. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. And this morning I hold out to anyone that if you come in faith, that you can be partakers of the grace of God. God will be ready to reconcile you. Just another thought, being saved by faith. Also from this passage, it says it is a free gift. This morning, you cannot purchase being alive in Christ. There's no way. I don't care if you have $1 million. I don't care if you have $1 billion. I don't care how much estate you have. It doesn't matter. The Bible says it is a free gift. We cannot be saved of ourselves. And many people try to live good moral lives. They put themselves under rigid schedules and self-denial. Others put on a form of godliness. But there is no freedom for those who only try by their own righteousness to gain acceptance from God. It is a free gift. It takes humility of heart to get on our knees and confess that we are wretched and poor and blind and needy. But we praise and worship God for His free gift this morning. But it takes faith. It takes faith. Secondly, I just like to consider surrender to Christ or a servant to Christ. And it does not directly say this in the passage, but it is quite obvious this morning as I was talking, and as you look at this passage, that we have two different kingdoms. One is of the world, one is of God. One is dead in your sins, and one is alive in Christ. There's a total difference. And I like to say this morning that these two kingdoms will not mix. Either we're going to serve the flesh, or we're going to serve God. This morning it takes a whole surrender to Christ. We cannot come to Christ and accept half the gift of salvation and expect to be saved. No, we got to take all of it. Or we cannot expect to give up half of the world and half of our passion and keep the rest to fulfill the desires of our flesh and expect to be saved. No, we either choose Christ or we don't choose Him. And it's very sad this morning because the society and the world has tried to bring Christ to their level of thinking. I can do what I want, but I'm still a Christian. If you look at this book, you're not going to find it in here. It's not in here. It's either the world or it's either God. Either have a new life or the old life. Christ is not interested in sharing your heart with the devil. It doesn't go together. Christ wants everything. It takes a full surrender to Christ. And people may say, well, this is slavery. But in reality, we become children of God. Slavery is when you do something and you don't want to. A servant is when you choose to do something because you want to. Number three, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, or a servant to good works. It's another one I'd like to consider this morning just a little bit. This morning we have a responsibility to Christ. A lot of people think it out of date to have discipleship in their life. They accept Christ as their Savior, but there's no discipleship. It takes both. It really does. I believe that when God cleans up the inside, you're going to have outward actions. When you come to the foot of the cross and you say you're dead in your sins and you recognize who you are, evil, unkind, unloving, and you admit that, and you confess that to Christ, and you give your heart and life to Christ because you want to live for God, your actions are going to come out different. You're not going to go around killing people because of the love of Christ filled your life so much. It's impossible. This morning, I do believe that we have failures in our life and that we need to work to strive for godly living. I'm not downplaying that. But what I am saying is in order to be alive in Christ is going to take servanthood. And this servanthood is not really bondage. It really isn't. It's not. And now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What are the results of being alive in Christ? Spiritual life and godly actions. And this morning, if you feel that it's slavery, I'd encourage you to go talk to some people that are living the way their life, the way they want to. You have all kinds of havoc. I have some family that left the Lord. There is divorce in that family. This one lady has different children from different men. It's just a mess. That is the slavery of the devil. But when you become to Christ, when you're alive in Christ, your actions are actually the kind that bring freedom. Well, actually, it's not your actions. It's what Christ does in your life. And the peace that Christ gives us and the joy that we have by coming in surrender to Christ is well worth it. This morning, you have the opportunity to choose what you want. Do you want to be dead in your sins or alive in Christ? I think I'll close with that. Let's kneel for prayer.